Yo! Don't interrupt me while I'm having my tea in the morning. How rude. I didn't know you were even there. It's like having a peeping Tom in your house. What is this? I have to suddenly be extra aware of this stuff. Jack Mutlante is here. I'm Gareth Cliff. This is the Gareth Cliff Show. This is The Real Network. Good morning.
Good morning indeed.
Yeah, how are you, Jack?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Yeah, you know what? Fantastic, actually.
Good.
All things considered.
Good.
And who wants to hear those people who go, well, actually, now that you ask, and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have.
Usually the signal to walk away.
Oh, my God. I think I need to go for a haircut. I don't know if I'm going to get any time today. I've got literally after the show. Literally. I shouldn't have even said that word. I hate it when other people say that. I have back-to-back fucking meetings all day.
Booked and busy.
Busy, Lizzie, Lizzie. That's me. And you know what? I like work, right? So it's fun. I'm not hating on that at all. But there's so many things that I haven't had a chance to do this week that I need to do. I suppose I'll get to them next week. You just gotta wait. You just gotta find the time, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm not gonna have a chance over the weekend either. So these are not serious problems.
Yeah.
These are good problems to have, actually. Too much to do. Imagine being bored, sitting at home, and you've got options. Be on the street, nyope, sleep. Much worse choices.
Yeah,
be on much the worse. All right, so what do we got today? Well, Jack's got a couple of things on his mind that he wants to talk about. We'll get to those. We've got Rich Mulholland popping in a bit later on. He's living in the Isle of Man at the moment. Now, the Isle of Man, not my favorite place. I mean, there's nothing there. But we'll find out from Rich because he's actually been there himself.
Their flag is like the most interesting thing I've seen.
Their flag is three legs joined at the hip.
Yeah, it's one of the strangest things I've ever seen in my life.
It's a heraldic device. Mm. Very odd.
Very interesting.
At some point, someone must have chopped off three legs. Three, by the way, not two. Three, and then attached them in like a triangular formation at the hip. Very bizarre place. I'm glad you know that. That's awesome. That's the only thing to know about the
genuinely. There's nothing else I know about it. Absolutely,
you're not missing
nothing.
Anything. We'll also check in this morning in the window seat with the guys from AHA, which is a division of Tourvest's huge company. These guys own hotels and lodges and accommodation, and they've got some amazing properties that we'll be talking about this morning too. So if you're looking for one of those midwinter breaks
or
something like that, then these are the people you need to talk to, and this is your lucky day. So we'll get to that a little later on. Everybody, by everybody, I mean like liberal white women, is very excited about Kamala Harris. No one else. Have you got that piece from some lady who's like, guys, let me read it to you, and then you can always show it afterwards, James, even if it's not ready. But this is so dumb. This is the level of stupid, right? Claire someone or another, she says, I know it's superficial. Of course, she's a white liberal woman. I know it's superficial, but I like that Kamala can dance and that she looks incredible for her age. She looks like the kind of person you'd have a margarita or two with. This is why people like that should not have a vote. Again, I'm going to say, like, do you remember when, and maybe you don't, but when Al Gore and George W. Bush were running against each other? And they went around, look at this. I mean, look at that. That's the dumbest thing you've ever seen. That was this morning on Twitter. Now, let me tell you, if that's your opinion, if that's how you make your decision about who you're going to vote for, and it seems to me like that's how she makes her decisions, I think I'd like to have a margarita with that person. Good luck. You are too stupid to vote. You should not be allowed to vote. But I remember with George W. and Al Gore, they asked a bunch of men, would you like to go for a beer with these guys? Now, again, that's just as stupid and doesn't involve any women at all. So you can't call me a misogynist for that example, because they're going to. You know, there's going to be someone who says, oh my God, anything you say that is nasty about women, because women are perfect, perfect goddesses, goddesses perfect. No, because during that campaign, they asked a bunch of dumb men, who would you rather have a beer with? Now, the correct answer when a pollster or a media person comes up to you and goes, oh, which of these presidential candidates would you rather have a beer with? The answer is none. I don't want to mix with politicians. But if you forced me at gunpoint, I would choose someone who has nothing to do with the presidency, someone who's the most fun socially. But that's not what you're looking for in a president. So you actually need to take the moment that they ask you that question to lecture the media about how dumb they are about their decision-making powers, or turn it on them and say, you shouldn't have a vote either, if that's the kind of question you ask. Because when people do this, and you know, they tried to do it in this country too. They're like, I really like Gaten McKenzie because he seems like a fun guy.
Yeah.
You're like, that's cool. He happens to also be doing the most in his ministry at the moment, which is great. But if your sole decision for whether or not you'll vote for someone is how socially fun they would be, you need your head read. In that same election, they asked women, do you prefer a blue tie or a red tie?
What?
On a guy, yeah. Because Gore was wearing a blue tie and Bush was wearing a red tie. Now, again, we have to do better than this. You know, honest to God. Frankly, I think on every single trajectory, you'd probably want to spend time with Trump more than Kamala. I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd make you laugh. I don't think she could. She just laughs, but she doesn't make you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said to her, what have you done? And she struggled to think about it. What have you actually done in your life? She's never won an election, by the way.
Yeah, she hasn't.
She's never built anything. Mm-mm. Never made anything. She was useless at the border when she was put in charge of that. She was useless at keeping peace in Eastern Europe when she was put in charge of that. Because guess what? We've got a war in Ukraine.
Mm.
So she's done nothing. But, you know, as long as she dances and looks young for her age, I suppose for a lot of girls, that's enough. Which is why they shouldn't be allowed to vote. Take the vote away from women. Really, I'm going to start. That's my campaign from now on. Just take it away. They don't deserve the vote.
I think it would be interesting to find out what people base their vote on. I don't think it's that enlightened either. Like, from a South African standpoint, I imagine in KZN, they were like, I vote Lubaba. And that was it. Like, Jacob Zuma is the guy.
I like Zulu, him.
And I like him.
People are like, I like
That's
him.
That's it.
Well, I have I have that same problem with anyone who says, I like Trump. I just like him.
Yeah, I have a problem with people who just randomly say, I hate Trump. It's like, okay, but why?
Or you like them. That's not a good enough reason.
Yeah, either side. Like, no. Facts don't give a damn about your emotions. So how about we focus on that?
Well,
but I mean, we're dealing with people. People are just...
But I don't think everyone... Look, really, I'm not one of those people who thinks everyone should have a vote. I really don't think... I think you should have to earn it. You should have to prove that you deserve a vote. You should do a little quiz beforehand.
Mm.
They should ask you basic stuff, not complicated shit. You're not going to have to solve for X in a complex quadratic equation.
Yeah.
Okay. What I want you to do is be able to name 5 of the 9 provinces. I want you to be able to point to the face of the person who was our first democratically elected president.
Mm.
Just cross that one off. I want you to be able to spell the first 3 words of our national anthem. Wouldn't be too hard, right? But if you can't do those things,
yeah,
like you really should not be allowed to vote. And maybe they should ask you 1 or 2 basic comprehension questions.
Hmm.
Like, what are politicians there for? A, to run the government. B, to give me free things. Or C, to look good on posters. And if you don't answer A, you're out. No vote for you. Because we've got to abandon this idea that everybody contributes the same. We know they don't, all right? If you are up this morning because you have to go and work and earn a living, you are already better in almost every way, and I know this is going to get me into huge trouble with people, than 20 to 30% of the population. Who nobody wants to work with. No one wants them working for them.
Mm.
No one wants those people around because they're positively destructive or they don't have a space in their business for them. But either way, they are superfluous to our need as a country. They are a drain on resources rather than a productive add, a value add, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think this idea, and that tweet got me so furious from that dumb idiot in America, got me so furious about how like everybody should be treated the same, including that dumbass who wants to be like voting for Kamala because she dances well. And by the way, how patronizing. If I were Kamala, I'd be like,
I'd be pissed off.
How embarrassing for her, right?
Yes, like actually keep that compliment. I don't need
it. Yeah, I don't want that compliment.
And like, it's always funny to me how these liberals try to mask their racism by pointing out things they think are not racist. Like, I think it's a bit stereotypical to point out the fact that a black person can dance. Like,
oh, yeah. Big move. Gareth, right? You're going to get in shit for saying take the votes away from us chicks, says Lisa. Congo Chris says, Lisa, do you think women are unable to answer basic questions about South African history? Because that's who Gareth is saying should have their vote taken away.
Hmm.
Carla says, gee, I made exactly this comment about 10 years ago and you accused me of trying to introduce eugenics into our political system. Glad you came around. Well, eugenics is still unacceptable. You don't get rid of people like the Nazis did based on immutable natural characteristics. You don't just wipe them out. All I'm suggesting here is that the vote is just a little bit too free. And also, when you give somebody something for free, they don't appreciate it. Like, we were talking all of the first 6 months of this year about how it's so important for young people to vote and they've all got to have a say. And guess what? Crickets. None of them pitched for the polls. You know why? Because the vote is free, so they don't attach any value to it. Unlike previous generations of particularly black South Africans who think the vote is hugely important because they realize how much was sacrificed for it.
Right.
Those people take their vote seriously. Right? They may vote ANC in many cases, but they take their vote seriously. If you can't be bothered to actually go to the polls, that's because you don't value the vote. Mm. Similarly, if you think that a vote is only for someone who dances well, then I don't think you're taking it seriously.
You're not.
Boom.
You're not. It's just that simple. And you know, the reasoning behind why young people in this country didn't go to the polls should be studied. We need to figure out what's going on there. Like, I think it's a combination of young people looking at the situation in the country and half of them somewhat not giving a fuck. I think it's a combination of those two things. It's maybe not just as simple maybe as you guys were just lazy, you didn't want to take part.
Well, I'm sticking to that until I come up with a better explanation.
Yeah.
Congo Chris suggests, and I think this is probably better than the idea that we were talking about, taking votes away. He says, nobody should have their vote taken away. Taxpayers should get an extra vote because they have skin in the game.
I think that's an interesting...
I think income, yeah, because we all pay VAT, as someone also said in the comments, Slippery Pickle. We all pay VAT. But if you are paying income tax over and above the VAT you pay on goods, that's a legitimate reason why you should have an extra vote.
Yeah.
Like, because you have a lot more riding on, you know, you're putting more into the system and hopefully you're expecting to get some out by investing in the country.
Yeah, I think it could be similar to the Electoral College. Like, taxpayers in the country become the Electoral College and everyone else is just the popular vote.
Now you're asking for trouble. Lisa says to wrap it up, and Lisa's proving my point. Thank you, Lisa. Let's just dance.
Yeah, let's do it.
I love it. Okay, so from the serious to the stupid this morning, I haven't watched it. I hear everybody talking about Jordan Peterson and Elon Musk. Elon Musk, you see, I'm on Twitter, so I see a lot of what's going on in his head anyway. I don't know how many more interviews with him we have to see. I know that it's great for, listen, if he offered to do an interview on this show, of course I'd say yes. I think Jordan Peterson's a very smart guy. I'm sure he asked one or two good questions. I just feel like I've heard a lot from these two guys already. I'm not so sure how much more I can expect to get out of them on current affairs. I mean, yeah. Elon's on Twitter all the time. So if I want to know what Elon thinks, all I have to do is scroll through the last 5 hours of tweets.
In fact, Jordan's also on Twitter all the time.
Right. So I don't know how much more I need, but the two of them got together, obviously talked a little bit about politics. You have watched it?
Yeah. Well, I watched most of it. For whatever reason, it popped up on YouTube and then it disappeared. Yeah. It's so weird. So weird. Because, I mean, the notification popped up on my computer yesterday while I was still at work. And then later on in the evening when I try to watch it, like, it kind of disappeared. There was some dude, you know, these reactors that watch something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of had to watch it that way, which made it a little bit difficult to get through. But nonetheless,
okay.
There were a few takeaways that I got from that interview. I actually wrote them down. So
Jack made notes, everybody.
Yes,
you're,
I did.
You're in for a, he's done his homework. You're in for a big day today.
Yeah. So firstly, part of the conversation, believe it or not, was about The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, right?
Oh, great book.
And
great book.
Elon Musk actually points out something that I didn't think about at all.
42?
Besides 42. Like, that book is philosophy disguised as humor.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I always thought of it as this, I took it at face value, like it's just literally a hitchhiker's guide through the galaxy. Mm. Just you know,
fun.
Just a bunch of fun. But when you flip it and you look at it from a philosophical standpoint, there's quite a lot to learn in there. There's quite a bit.
I agree. Good stuff.
That was a fantastic takeaway that I picked up on that conversation. They also had the discussion about AI and what Elon is trying to do with his AI, which is Grok on X.
I've used Grok. It's definitely a little more funny.
Yes.
Less serious than
and I'm
always in favor of the funny and the stupid before. And by stupid, I mean silly. And I mean like and actually dumb. Silly, not taking itself so seriously.
Right.
I'm always in favor of that more than the serious stuff. I mean, like, can you imagine when it comes to billionaires, how much more fun it would be to spend time with Elon than it would be to spend time with Bill Gates?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Bill Gates is so
my goodness,
fucking boring and so serious.
Sure.
Elon would be way better. That's just not even a contest.
Listen, I'm not even going to waste my breath talking about Bill
Gates. Was he fun in the interview?
He was. I think what struck me was just how detailed Jordan Peterson is when it comes to asking questions. It's like it almost felt as if for moments in time, Elon didn't know what he was supposed to answer exactly because he piles in all of this information and then leaves the question right at the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It can be a little bit difficult to keep up with the conversation because you're like, okay, wait. You started off saying I want to talk about AI, but your question kind of meanders through murky waters. Like, what are we doing here?
I think you almost become part of his flow of consciousness for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you realize, like, oh, actually, this is an interview. It's not just Jordan monologuing.
It's not just them.
Yeah, maybe that's also why I haven't been in a hurry to watch this. I think it'll be interesting, and I probably will in some time.
Yeah.
But it wasn't something that I was hugely excited about. Anyway, it sounds good so far.
It really is a interesting conversation, especially if you're into how humanity can develop moving forward. There were a lot of eye-opening moments. Like, I mean, Elon's motivation to get into AI, at the root of it, he's trying to figure out the existential question. Like, why are we here? Mm. Why does the world look the way it does? And all of those genuine, like, bedrock questions are the reason he's trying to get there. And he thinks by putting together an AI system that ultimately becomes smarter than all human beings might just be our closest attempt at getting to understand those questions.
I was in two meetings yesterday with some people about AI, two different meetings about AI. And afterwards, I went on to ChatGPT just because it's on my phone.
Yeah.
And I asked it for, this is a fairly wide summary, right? So I said, what are the greatest human achievements of the 20th century? Now, if you asked a person that, they would give you an opinion. There's so many things to choose from, right? Space flight, cars, the internet, human rights. There are lots of things that developed properly to fruition or came about out of nowhere in the 20th century. It would be very difficult to choose.
True.
This is where AI is useful, is if you ask it a question like, what are the greatest human achievements of the 20th century? Then you're going to get really good answers from AI because it's going to scour the entire body of human knowledge and come up with a very good answer, which it did.
Mm-hmm.
A much better answer than I could have given or than the smartest guy in the world could have given.
Yeah.
So that's where it's really helpful. And I don't think that we must dismiss the fact that this may be one of the big steps forward. I mean, there was the agricultural revolution, mm-hmm. right? So that's where we all got to use animals to get things done. The second one was the industrial revolution. We got machines to do things. The third one was the information revolution, which is what we're in now. And we're at the kind of, we're in the middle of it at the moment. Mm. The beginning of it was probably the 90s with the internet, that kind of thing. Where information now, even if you're dirt poor in a backwater of the world, you can still access more information than any of your ancestors ever could, no matter how privileged or not they were. Right. Mm. And then the fourth kind of revolution that we're going into now is much more about intelligence. It's an intelligence revolution. So it's no longer a unique selling point for a human being to just be good at pattern seeking, which is how we measure intelligence. Because that's not going to get anyone ahead when a machine can do it much better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fascinated by this. So he had a lot to say about that too. Maybe it's worth listening.
Yeah, it really is. And I think my favorite quotable from that conversation, I haven't heard this before, so that's why it stood out to me. Elon says, physics is the law and everything else is recommendation. I like how that sounds.
Oh, nice.
I like how that was put together because you get to, it's a cool way of pointing out to people that you and I can have our opinions. We can come up with different ideas, but facts are facts.
Yeah.
Let's deal with the facts.
Yeah. I heard someone the other day saying, well, I don't know about this Newton guy and the gravity thing. I'm not sure I agree with that. I'm like, go and climb to the top of a building.
Yeah.
And jump off and see if you can somehow thwart the law of gravity.
Yeah.
That'll be a really good experiment for everyone except you.
No, in fact, for everyone. Because you'll find exactly what you're looking for.
All right. Well,
at the bottom of that building.
Conga Chris brings up the fact that there's a zeitgeist at the moment that tells men they are the origin of all evil in human history and a social engineering pipeline towards chemical castration, i.e. gender identity.
Mm.
Now, that came up in the interview.
Yes, it did.
You saw that part as well?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't seen it yet, but here's the clip that I did see that everybody's been passing around. This is Jordan and Elon talking about his kid. So this is where it gets personal, right?
Yes, it does.
One of the reasons he bought Twitter, apparently, is because he felt he was tricked into allowing his child to gender transition. So for some people, this is hugely controversial. If it is, cool. For the rest of the population, it's like, yeah, obviously. And he's standing up for that, yeah, obviously group of people. So here we go.
All the boys. Where I was... I was essentially tricked into signing documents for one of my older boys, Xavier. This is before I had really any understanding of what was going on, and we had COVID going on, and so there was a lot of confusion. You know, I was told, oh, he, you know, Xavier might commit suicide if he
did. That was a lie right from the outset.
Incredibly evil. And I agree with you that people that have been promoting this should go to prison.
That's
so I was tricked into doing this. You know, it wasn't explained to me that puberty blockers are actually just sterilization drugs. So I lost my son, essentially. You know, they call it dead naming for a reason.
Yeah, I...
All right. So the reason it's called dead naming is because your son is dead. So my son Xavier is dead, killed by the woke mind virus.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that would be like.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and there's lots of people in that situation now.
Right.
It's not pretty. And lots of demolished kids.
Yes.
Yeah, so, well, that's a good reason to be the final straw. All right, so let's...
So I vowed to destroy the woke mind virus after that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And we're making some progress.
Join the club.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. I hadn't seen that until this morning either, so that's quite a big deal.
It is.
He vowed to destroy the woke mind virus there and then. Listen, if anyone can, it's going to be that guy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's taking us to Mars.
Yeah, and I think the fact that he's got skin in the game tells you that it's not just something he didn't consider. This is something that he thought about top to bottom, and he's going out of his way to make sure that this woke mind virus, as he calls it,
yeah,
is a thing of the past.
Well, still fascinating stuff. I see really the comments. Why does Jordan Peterson speak like he's crying, Sinelli? Sinelli. Yeah. Well, I don't know, yeah. Sinelli. I don't know. It is funny. Having children is really crappy these days. Even Elon is struggling. Yeah, and he's got all that money.
Yeah,
it's tough.
It's tough, madness. Man. It's and
respect to all the parents. You guys don't get enough credit.
Like, kids are confused enough already. You know what I mean? Just trying to figure this life shit out, and now you add gender dysphoria and all of this shit on top of it. It's just insane. It's absolutely insane.
All right, I got something to tell you about here. Cocaine sharks.
Ooh.
Yeah. Marine biologists tested 13 Brazilian sharp-nosed sharks taken from the shores near Rio de Janeiro. They found they tested for high levels of cocaine in their muscles and livers. Yeah, the concentrations are much as 100 times higher than previously reported for other aquatic creatures. The research carried out by the Oswaldo Cruz Foundation is the first to find the presence of cocaine in sharks. We really don't fucking need this. Listen, I watched that Cocaine Bear movie.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually. That was based on a real story, okay? Remember the basic premise here is this bear, some guy's flying over a nature reserve and needs to dump all the cocaine because he's going to be arrested on the other side. He throws it all out into this forest. The forest is in a nature reserve. In the nature reserve, there are bears. The one bear finds all the cocaine, goes to town, okay? Becomes, for a couple of hours until it has a heart attack and dies, the most fearsome predator alive on the planet today with absolutely unbelievable levels of concentration and focus.
Yes, sir.
And energy.
Yeah. Okay.
And this thing just causes shit wherever it goes. Now, we do not need a repeat of this with sharks.
No, we don't.
I don't know who thought this was a good idea. You Brazilians are insane. Stop this now.
Do you know what blew my mind about this story? It says the concentrations were as much as 100 times higher than previously reported for other aquatic creatures. Like, what's going on with these fish?
Well, apparently they believe the cocaine is making its way into the waters via illegal labs where the drug is manufactured or through the excrement of drug users.
Ooh.
Nice. All you drug addicts, as if it isn't bad enough having to deal with you in the streets of Rio de Janeiro.
Sheesh.
Further research is required to ascertain exactly whether the cocaine is changing the behavior of the sharks. However, previous research has shown that drugs were likely to have similar effects on animals as they do on humans.
Oh, my
goodness. You don't say.
A shark high on cocaine?
Yeah. Graham Rogers says, imagine cocaine mosquitoes.
Oh my God.
I don't want to think about that.
No. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm glad you brought up that cocaine bear. You remember that question that they asked women? Would you rather be in the wild with a man or a bear? Let me tell you something. Even if he's got no cocaine in him,
hell
it's a bad idea.
Conga Chris says, hell yeah. cocaine sharks, myth gators, and nyaupe prawns. Rock and roll, brother. We will not be the apex species anymore.
Oh,
my it won't take long if you let all these other animals have these drugs, especially this drug. Mm. We're in for a lot of trouble.
We are.
That's why turtles always have straws stuck in their noses, says our bots.
I actually read, I came across a very interesting story about a week or so ago. There were 4 shark attacks in the US in one day.
That's cocaine.
It's the cocaine. I was trying to figure out what was going on. I didn't know these motherfuckers were high on cocaine.
Exactly. Ah! Yeah, exactly. Lisa says, no way, that's like Jaws and Fast Forward. Yeah, listen, we really are. Yeah, people are worried about like climate change, but we should first worry about the cocaine sharks.
Yes.
I'd prefer that to be our priority. The cocaine animals. Thank you. Thank you. Let's concentrate on the really important stuff. I saw the U.S. Secret Service Director Kim Cheadle resigned.
Of course she did.
Did you see how they tore her to pieces in Congress? Mm-hmm. And rightly so.
She deserves it.
As your director, she says, I take full responsibility for the security lapse. She said in a resignation letter to staff on Tuesday, she had faced calls from Democrats and Republicans to step down after a contentious House committee hearing on Monday about the incident. Oh, they went at her, huh?
I loved it. I loved it. I saw a couple of clips from the entire thing and I was like, you know what? Sometimes when you're an idiot and you just bad at your job,
yeah,
we need to put you on front street.
Right.
So the whole world can watch you fumble and stumble.
Can I tell you what another important part of that is?
Yeah.
Is you actually need, and I know this is going to upset some people, especially the gentler, kinder people in our audience, of which there are probably about 3. But I know that people don't like to hear this, but humiliation and embarrassment are essential ingredients to getting people to improve their behavior and the results.
Can the church say amen?
You got to embarrass and humiliate bad motherfuckers. You have to let stupid and incompetent people know that they're stupid and incompetent.
Yep.
All of this gentle, like, don't bully people, say the nice things, don't let people feel bad about themselves. Bullshit. You need to remind people how shit they are when they've behaved like shit.
Yeah.
Really. We got to rub their noses in it. Like what you do with a dog. When it shits in your house, you rub your nose in the shit and then you hit the dog.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we got to do to people like Kim Cheadle and everyone else who takes up a job that they can't do, that they're not qualified for, that they fuck up badly.
Yep.
And we are all allowed a couple of mistakes. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying zero tolerance. I'm saying if you've proven time and time again, or in an incident where the stakes are so high that you cannot afford to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Humiliation and embarrassment are part of the prescribed solution. They are not to be avoided. And I know every HR director in the country has just shat themselves and started running around the room with their arms flailing above their heads, screaming, how could he say this? It's basically heresy, because this they're employed these HR people to make sure that everything is soft and gentle and nice and friendly. And let me tell you, that doesn't always get results. Sometimes someone needs to be put in a position of humiliation, like the Secret Service director. If she hadn't gone in for that hearing, she'd still be sitting there like so many other people in politics all over the world, not just in this country of ours, all over the world, where they have thick skins, so they don't care what people think of them. But if you humiliate them enough, they'll make the right decision.
Yep. I think the magic moment or the money moment for me was when they asked after Reagan's assassination attempt,
yes,
what happened to the head of the Secret Service at that point? She was like, he kept on going. They were like, no, he resigned. Right. And that's exactly what you need to do right now, which is what she did. And as you're explaining how... sometimes we need to humiliate a few people.
Yeah.
In my mind, that scene from Game of Thrones where Cersei is
being, shame.
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 We need to do it. We need to do it because people's social perception is a lot more important these days.
Yeah.
Because of social media and the internet and all of this stuff.
Yes.
I think you should be publicly humiliated, especially if you are in a service industry.
Yeah.
Specifically government.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because because in government, like if you work for a private company, you really only owe an explanation to the other people in that company and maybe your clients, right? Mm. But if you're in government, you owe the whole country an explanation. That's the difference. So people mustn't go, oh, well, you know, but then that goes for companies too. Yes, it does. But to the degree that the company and the clients are your only points of responsibility. Mm. If you're in government, you owe everyone in the country an explanation.
Please.
Jared says, it's an interesting one, the people have got to know if you're being stupid, Richard Nixon once. Well, he actually said people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. Well, and if you're a crook, they must out with that as well. Mm. My wife is in HR, just called you an asshole, says Smiley Face. I'll tell your wife to get a real job. Stupid. Really. Honestly. Smiley Face says, Sonetta, your wife must suck having a job like that. I told you, we've got a really friendly audience here. They take no prisoners, all right?
Yeah, I love it.
All right, so that's some fun. There was something else that I wanted to show you quickly. This is quite cool. Among all the clips that I sent to James this morning is this one of Ricky Gervais from his show. And the reason I don't add Turan for Hope at KFC is because those are not my fucking children, okay? I'm not.
I just don't believe the money is going where it needs to. Honestly, I was actually thinking about this the other day, right? Like, when you think about all the non-profit organizations, they are like there's UNICEF.
We have more charity organizations in South Africa than they do in the UK.
I'm not surprised. Where's this money going? Someone must tell me where this money is going, because if we are asked to add, it's KFC with add 2 rand to your order, McDonald's add 5 rand to your order. It's like, where is this money going?
Okay, look, I'm sure that they're doing good with it. I'm sure that they're not pocketing the cash.
I'm not sure.
The difference is, like someone said this the other day, and I know this show sounds like it's the most insensitive show we've done in ages, but hey, this is bound to happen at some point. I know that there are good people in the world who are trying to do good, and I have no doubt that these organizations are doing the best they can. And we need all the help we can get because there are tons of people in need. Okay, so I'm not going to lie about the fact that there is an enormous gap between the amount of help that people are getting and the amount of help they actually need.
Yeah.
Especially vulnerable people, especially children. I don't think anyone is in that situation because it's their fault.
Sure. Right?
So let's be clear about that before we get back into the mean stuff. But someone said to me the other day, and it's a quote from I wish I could remember. Yeah, you hate the rich, but do you have the courage to hate the poor? And that sounds like the meanest thing ever, but it's illustrated better than anywhere else by Ricky Gervais in this clip, because a lot of the people who are doing the good work are actually just doing it for the shine. And sometimes they're paid to do it, so they're not really just volunteers doing it for free. You'll remember this clip if you've seen his show, but just watch this and you'll see what we mean.
Experiment with homeless children?
Sorry, no.
Oh, don't care about children in poverty then?
Not at the moment. I've got bigger problems.
Do bigger problems exist than the desperate poverty of a child?
Sorry, I thought me saying I was busy was enough. What's the guilt tripping? And don't give me this altruism shit. You're not a volunteer. Everyone knows you're getting paid. You don't give a fuck about the charity or poverty-stricken kids. You want money. I'd effectively be paying your wages, you wiry little twat. Four eyes.
Yeah, and what's really clever about that clip is he does give money then to that blind lady. I suppose it's a blind lady or something else, whatever she's doing at a table. Because there's always people in the town square asking for money.
Yeah.
You might be doing a lot. But then that person who you refuse to help at that robot thinks, oh, you're a mean person who's selfish and doesn't care. Like, you can't be giving all the time.
Yeah.
And I think you've got to be very focused about who you help. Otherwise, it is going to be diluted.
Mm.
You can't help everybody. And for many people, charity starts at home, right?
Yes, it does.
So first look after your nearest and dearest, because that is your responsibility. First clean up your own house and your own yard. And then you can start worrying about everyone else. I love these people who've got no way of helping anyone, even themselves, but they're telling you about how they're going to save the world. It's like, yeah, come on.
It's a little presumptuous.
Start at home.
We were talking about Jordan Peterson earlier on. One of the rules in his fantastic book is make sure that your house is in order before you try to organize the world.
Yeah,
It's a really simple idea. Like,
right.
Did you do your bed? Let's start there. Before you assume that you can fix the world's problems,
yeah,
is your bedroom in order? Let's start there.
Absolutely.
And if you're continuously walking around trying to help everyone, you're going to be the one that's in need of assistance at the end of the day. So we have to keep things in perspective. But I'm still saying, I'm going back. With all of these organizations, Gareth, I am very, I suspect there's something going on, man. Like a couple of years ago, correct me if I'm wrong.
Allegedly, you sound like a conspiracy theorist.
Allegedly, because I don't want to get sued. Allegedly, it was found out that those Turans that were going to KFC were actually feeding prisoners.
Oh, we don't want to do that.
Allegedly. We already feed those people enough with our tax money.
How much did Wimpit, who's now the Minister of Correctional Services, how much did he say we're paying for every prisoner? It's like 300 rand a day or something.
Can you imagine?
Listen, how much is the government grant? 350.
It's 370 now.
370. Okay, so if you're a taxpayer, you're giving only 70 rand more to unemployed and needy people in this country who are on welfare than you are to the prisoners. I say take the 300 for the prisoners and add that to the ones for the needy.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, and I like, our prisons are too full. It's just not on.
I like Wimpit's idea that, you know, these guys need to work.
Wimpit.
Yeah. He's better than Uncle Posse.
Make them work.
Let them work.
Yes,
let them
make them work.
Because
agreed. You see, we've solved all the world's problems this morning.
Yes, we have. And
yeah,
we are continuously saying someone paid their debt to society. No, they took a 5-year vacation where they were recording videos behind bars.
Yeah.
And doing all of this madness.
They all have phones.
No. Yeah. Stop. Here's what I'm saying. You guys need to farm to
fix potholes.
Yeah, fix potholes. You must farm so that you grow your own food. That way it doesn't come out of the fiscus. you need to work. Like, I remember in old school American movies, you'd see them making things like number plates.
And yes, yeah, all yeah, of this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shawshank simple. Redemption.
Please.
Yeah. Number plates.
Do something. That way you can actually repay your debt to society instead of increasing your tab on society's bill. I'm just saying.
Yes. Okay. Well, we've solved enough problems for now. I think that's quite enough problem solving from Jack and I. We're exhausted now. We can't carry on.
We can't.
You find someone else to solve the rest of your problems for this morning, all right? And if you don't like anything we said, just listen to it in context from the beginning of the show, and you can't possibly have a problem with it unless you're an idiot. It is time for us to talk about something very, very important. There are probably many people who at this moment in winter are thinking, oh, man, it would be nice to just get away, to go somewhere beautiful like the Pilanesberg, take a little time just to chill out in some gorgeous like 5-star lodge. Mm. Well, I'll tell you what, when it comes to giving you ideas for taking a break, you've come to the right place. Why? Because this morning we're going to be talking to two gentlemen who are doing exactly that as their day job. They are Graham Edmond and James Robb. Graham is the CEO. James is the Chief Sales and Marketing Officer of AHA Hotels and Lodges. They have plenty of really, really awesome stuff in their division of Tourvest. It's a sister company of TTS, who bring you the window seat every single second week. They recently launched two new lodges in the Kruger National Park, and we'll find out about those in just a moment. So, guys, thank you for coming. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Gary. Thanks for having us.
Early, hey?
Very early.
Yeah.
these are two of those struggling parents you spoke about earlier.
All right, there we go.
Very little sleep last night, so thanks, Gary.
You heard my shout out to parents, right? While I was punishing everyone else in the environment. At least I said nice things about parents. Okay, so first of all, tell us about AHA, because you guys are a massive division of Tourvest. You've got a lot of properties that you're in charge of and that you run and that you make as lovely as possible for the rest of us to come and enjoy. So tell us how AHA started and where all of that's going.
Sure. So AHA is it's a collection of hotels, lodges, and resorts around South Africa. Currently have 15 different properties to choose from, spanning from hotels in Cape Town, where you probably have more tick than cocaine sharks, hotel in Umhlanga, hotel in Knysna, and then we have game lodges all around the country. So
beautiful.
Pilansburg, Madikwe, currently have 3 lodges in the Kruger National Park, about to have a 4th and another private game reserve just west of Hoedspruit, and then a beautiful alpine resort sitting in the middle of the Drakensberg. So oof. Selection of different options all around the country.
Tell me quickly, these 2 new lodges that they told me about in Kruger Park, Graham, what are they?
So the one is in Kuklu Tented Camp. It's between Skukuza and Lower Sabi. It's a luxury self-catering tented safari on the banks of the Sabi River.
Lovely.
Just 7 rooms. Yeah, and it's been really well received. Yeah, it's probably the best self-catering accommodation you can get in Kruger.
And people like self-catering because
South Africans do, yes.
Yeah, because they want to braai.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Part of it is not just getting your food served to you, it's actually making it yourself.
Correct.
People like that.
Yeah.
And now is the perfect time, obviously, but any time of the year is good in that part of the world. I mean, it's beautiful in summer, it's lovely in spring and autumn, and in winter, it's probably the only part of the country that you'd want to be in.
Yeah, and your game viewing at this time of year is absolutely fantastic. And
for sure.
Kruger enthusiasts, especially for Nkuhu, it sits on quite a famous road called the H4-1, which is a predator-rich road. So you sit in between the 2 very well-known lodges of Skukuza and Lower Sabi, and you get that stretch of road for about half an hour by yourself in the morning before it gets too busy.
Wow.
Man, it's just absolutely beautiful.
So when people talk about a tented camp, I mean, this is not what anyone who hasn't been to these places thinks. It's not a bunch of pikeys with their tents that they put up themselves. These are like state-of-the-art, like the canvas walls that are effectively walls. They've got windows in them. It's got, you know, it's got all the mod cons and all the luxuries that you would expect. And for people who haven't seen it, can you describe it for them?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. This is glamping at its best.
Yeah.
I mean, you walk into your room through your 2 double sliding doors with a big queen-size bed in front of you. It is self-catering, so it's got your stovetop sitting there with a beautiful fridge. We generally give you a bottle of wine on arrival if we like you.
Sure.
And just really beautifully set out, luxurious. In the mornings, you lie in your bed, you open those sliding doors, and you're looking out over the Sabi River. It's got a sunken, what would you call it, kind of patio in front of you with a gas braai on it.
Nice.
It's just an absolutely beautiful setting.
That's magic. Okay, so what have you got closer to Joburg for people who are still keen to get away, but they can't actually go further than like an hour or 2's drive? Have we got something 3 hours maybe at a push?
Yeah, absolutely. There's quite a lot of options. So Drakensberg is always a fantastic option. So a 3-hour drive from both Johannesburg and Durban. We love you Durban people too.
You mentioned this is the alpine sort of resort that you were talking about.
Alpine Heath Resort. So again, self-catering chalets, 3 different rooms, sleeping up to 6 people. So perfect for your normal-sized families.
Nice.
And a real quick getaway. Then another 2 great options would be the Pilansburg Game Reserve. So we have 2 5-star lodges in the Pilansburg, Ivory Tree and Shepherd's Tree Game Reserves. You're literally looking at a 2-hour drive from Johannesburg. You tell your boss you've got a lunchtime meeting. Jeez. Leave the office at 12 o'clock. You're there by 2 o'clock, ready to jump on the afternoon game drive. And really 2 magnificent offerings in the Pilansburg National Park. World-class spa facilities too. And morning and afternoon game drives followed by, breakfast, lunch, dinner, high teas. It's a bit of a gluttonous, luxury spoiled affair.
Sounds fantastic. Okay, so I know what people are going to say. They're going to immediately start saying, but you know what? This is probably priced for the international market, and it's very expensive, and it's fine if you've got dollars, but we've only got rands. We don't have dollars. So do you have specials for South Africans?
We do, and we have always had this. So, I may get fired, but this is my boss next to me, so I've loaded an extra special for the Gareth Cliff listeners. It'll only be available today.
Right.
So if you do go to ivorytreegamelodge.com and go to their little book online and just choose dates this Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, I've still got a few rooms left, and you'll see I've done a little special promotion.
Nice.
It's called the Gareth Cliff promotion.
Very good.
Outside of that, though, we've always got special SA resident rates. So,
all right. So don't be a slacker. If this is what you needed and you've been sitting there in your office for the whole of this week and last week thinking, God, I could do with a break. I mean, this is a really awesome opportunity for you. So go to ivorytreegamelodge.com and go and look at those specials now before they sell out. Because I don't want you moaning in the comments section that, oh, I went, but it was already sold. Get in there quickly. All right. I'm sure both of you at these various lodges have had all kinds of incredible stories. And a lot of these have involved animals. So what's the scariest or most exciting wildlife or safari story you've each got? Graham, you start.
Sure. It's probably not also good to say on this show, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So I started many years ago with Oho. We got Makalali, which is just west of Footscray. It's private game reserve, Big Five. And I was doing a budget with the general manager of the property. We finished about half past one. It's a normal guest in the River Lodge. You got three River Lodges, each with six rooms in a central area. We did the budgets in there. It was about half past one. Had a couple of brandies. And normally you've got night security that walk you to your room, but I've been there 1,000 times. So I said, no problem.
I don't need this.
I'll walk to my room. It's dark. They have lights at that stage, probably every 80 to 100 meters on a gravel pathway. So I was walking along there, about opposite one, had a couple of drinks, and probably 80 meters in front of me, coming into the lights, a big hippo on the path facing me.
It's the only animal you really, well, there's a couple that you don't want to meet, but that's right up there.
And at night,
yes, sis.
On foot, by yourself.
Are you between it and the river?
So that's the problem.
Oh.
Is that your rooms are on the right of the path and the river. So you always hear the stories that hippo will always run to the river.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I picked up a rock. I threw it to the left, so it would, I think you would assume it doesn't have great eyesight, particularly at night. So I threw a rock to the left-hand side, hoping that that noise would attract it. And then I ran for my life and dived onto my deck and just curled up in a ball, expecting this hippo to bite me. Anyway, went to bed. Nothing
happened. You made it.
Woke up in the morning. You can see my footprint sprayed to the right to run for my room and his footprint sprayed to the left. So my rock trick worked. But it was petrifying.
Don't try this at home, kids.
Yeah, please don't.
Yes, sis. And you, James?
No, I've got nothing to really come. I mean, my only story really comes from the same lodge at Makalali. Went on my first ever night there. It was mid-November, and Graham had taken me up to show me the new lodge I'd be selling. It was a paltry 38.5 degrees in Hoedspruit. And
nice. Hot.
And anyway, a few more, let's call them safari sodas at dinner, and he snuck off. Didn't know where he had disappeared to, and eventually I got back to my room early hours of the morning, and he had probably lit the world's biggest fire. And for about 22 minutes, I tried to sleep in the sauna, lying on the bathroom floor, lying shielding the fire. Eventually had enough of it, so I went outside. And at that stage, I didn't realize it was an unfenced camp. So I just took my duvet and my pillow and slept on, it's like a little something called a sala, which is a raised platform outside. And about 2 hours later, I had night security furiously waking me. So you got to get up, you got to get up. Yes, no, what's wrong? And those three lions over there are enjoying your sleeping. So,
my God.
Anyway, let's hope no one from work's listening to this.
Okay, well, okay. Don't take any chances if you are one of the people booking for this weekend or any other weekend. So very exciting, the new Skukuza Safari Lodge and Kuklu Tented Camp. And there are plenty of other options too. Just go to travel.co.za. You'll find a whole lot of them. Looks absolutely magic. Guys, thank you so much.
And for those people's Skukuza, I mean, it's predominantly the affordable accommodation in Kruger is self-catering as either Sandparks accommodation or the likes of in Kuklu. If those people still want to visit Kruger, but they can't afford those ultra-luxury five-star products that are there, Skukuza is a really, really good option. It's 128 rooms, great conference facilities.
Amazing.
It's really, really nice and fully catered. So you can do bed and breakfast, dinner, bed and breakfast. There are game drives on offer also. So it's a good option for those who don't want to self-cater.
Yeah, or spend an absolute fortune because it can get expensive.
Yep.
All right, I love it. Thank you, Graham. Thank you very much, James. Good to have you both here. Graham, CEO, and James, Chief Sales Marketing Officer of AHA Hotels and Lodges. If you want to find out more, head on to travel.co.za. But you heard about that special on ivorytreegamelodge.com. Go on there immediately. James has made some specials available. I can't tell you how many will be there or how long, so get in before it's too late. We'll be back in just a moment. Gareth Cliff Show on The Real Network.